news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
And then last week, you all saw what happened to Tom Zink at the hands of Bockwinkle, Stevens, and Larry Zbysko. Without a doubt, one of the most despicable acts in professional wrestling, all three men. Heavily fined, threatened with suspension, but the bottom line, the condition of Tom Zink and Tom, if you will now, so much concern on the part of other wrestlers, fans alike. But what exactly have the doctors had to say, Tom?
Well, thank you very much, Ken. But first of all, I want to thank all the great people out there for their cards, letters, and their phone calls for their concern over what happened last week. This injury could have been one that ended my career, but fortunately, all I had was a slight concussion on the top of my head from the blow on the floor and two compressed vertebrae in my neck. And that they can adjust that, and I should be back within a month, Ken.
And Tom, I'm certainly when you do come back, you will have quite a score to settle with the trio of Bockwinkle, Stevens, and Zbysko.
That's right, I do, Ken. You know, every night I lay awake in bed at night, and I feel the pain in my neck. And believe me, whether it's one at a time, two of them, all three of them, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be shooting for him.
All right, now, Kurt Hennig, you have some very big matches coming up. There's no way that Tom will be able to be your partner.
Well, my father's going to step in for the important matches. You know, this man's standing here very, very humble. But I know the true feelings. I know the explosion that's ready to go off inside of this man. You know, maybe it's a compliment that they did this to us, because I didn't think Bockwinkle, Stevens, and Zbysko, we must be a threat to him. Otherwise, I don't think they would have done what they did. And believe me, as he's standing here and I am too, we're going to get the job done on you.
All right, fans, you heard it. We'll be back. And fans, that sensational team, Kurt Hennig and Tom Zink, to meet three times former heavyweight champion of the world, Nick Bockwinkle, and his partner, former America's champion, Larry Zbysko.
Larry, we have failed. We tried to take and do a nice, kind thing. We tried to educate you, Tom Zink, about the facts of life. But undoubtedly, we were not as expeditious as we should have been, and you did not seem to absorb, like most of the cretinous humanoids that you represent.
Well, you know something, Nick? We're not mind readers, people. And you know, Mr. Stink and Mr. Hennig, we didn't realize that you wanted to be put out of wrestling for good. We thought you wanted to maybe take some experience home and realize that this is not a game we play. Take a peek at this, Mr. Stink. This is the ladder of success. And me and Nick are right here on the top of the ladder. And we didn't get there by dreaming. And we didn't get there by wishing. And it's not determination that wins matches. It's experience, punk.
Do you think it would be a nice gesture on our part if from that very lowest rung on the ladder, we allow Tom Zink, or as you refer to him, Mr. Stink, climb the ladder, you and Kurt Hennig, and you come all the way up here to the top where we sit. And you come all the way up, and then what shall we do?
Well, let me tell you something. We're going to climb a little bit, and we're going to kick you right in the face and watch you fall down. And this time, you're not going to get out of the hospital.
Wednesday night, October 23rd. Bockwinkle goes to Misco against Kurt Hennig and Tom Zink.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, of course, and assorted lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined by...
And if any of these pea-brained ham and eggers can comprehend who I even am, I'm the Mega Powers.
That's right, and we are, Dave, we're live
We're live.
On Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media is the place. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. It is September 3rd, 2014. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Well, I've had better days. Went to the dentist today.
Now, oh, boy.
Yeah, now,
was
you know.
Was it Corbin Burnson or was it Isaac Yankum?
No. Yeah, right. Now, normally I have a good rapport with dentists. I'm not one of those guys that mess my teeth up so bad where I have to get all the stuff done.
Are you flossing daily?
I'm not flossing, but I did have some terrible buildup, plaque and tartar, and they had to, like, scrape my gums. So
and the disease known as gingivitis?
Well, I could have gingivitis if I don't take care of my teethesis. But my shit's all proper now, but my gums feel like somebody kicked them several times. So either way, I am recovering well, and thank goodness I had no cavity. I felt like my son's age. I felt like I was 7. He goes, "Oh, Phil, no cavities." I'm like, "Yes." And like the dental assistant's like, "What are you 7?" I'm like, "Yeah, 7 plus 33."
Something like that.
Yeah,
so you didn't have to put the big X-ray bib on you or anything.
Oh no, I did. This is my yearly checkup. So they put the bib on you. They take the they take the pictures, and you know what? You know, an insert, you know, jokes here. I don't have a good gag reflex. So, like, she said to me, she goes, I feel like I'm gagging, you know. She sticks this thing in my mouth, I have to bite down on it and just take the picture. You know how it goes. I got to tell you. So she goes, "Thank you so much for holding on." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Most people just throw up." And she even said to me, she goes, "Nobody comes back." I'm like, "What are you talking about? This guy's awesome." My dentist looks like Roy Scheider. So every time I go in there, I go, "Dun, dun, dun, dun." I feel like I'm in Jaws. Looks just like him. And he's probably the same age, too. So I was like, "Okay." She goes, no. She goes, "I'm serious." She goes, "People don't have a good gag reflex. They don't come back." I'm like, "How do you not come back and take care of your teeth?"
Not only that, but what kind of crowd is this dentist attracting where they're constantly throwing up in the office?
I have no idea, but either way, it's a fine establishment. My gums are now clean and scraped, and my teeth are looking fantastical. And we're ready for a kick-ass show tonight.
Well, I'm glad you didn't throw up, but I'm glad your pearly whites are still pearly whites, or unless they're pearly yellows, whichever.
No, they were a little yellow, but I took care of that. So now I just have to, right, you know, be more diligent with the flow. He goes, you know what he said to me? He goes, "I know you're a busy man." He goes, "I know you work a busy lifestyle," he says to me. He's a nice old man. He goes, "But Phil, you have to brush a little better at night." He goes, "In the morning, I know you get up, you're busy, you brush your teeth, you run out of the house." He goes, "I know how you guys operate. I know how all you EMS guys operate," he says to me. I'm like, "Thanks, Doc." So he goes, "No." He goes, "Just take a little more time at night." And he was so, like, he was so loving about it, you know?
And you got to hit the gums, too.
Got to hit the gums, dude. Guys, seriously.
Don't just brush the teeth. Brush the gums, too.
This is a public service announcement from your boy, the Impact Player. Take care of your gums and your teeth because you don't want your gums scraped.
Or we will be getting Corbin Burnson on your ass.
Or Dr. Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
Which beats Corporate Kane's gimmick, I can tell you that.
Anyway. Well, I think anything that involves Kane is kind of can easily be beaten. Anyway.
Oh, hello to everybody in the chat room. I see the boss is in there tonight. Hello, Double A.
Yeah, because it's an AWA night. That's why he's here.
Ah, Mr. X, Iron, buddy Matt.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Iron's in there.
Mike Sharp is here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we had a nice big old show for you guys tonight. I have some news to get into, not much news, but enough to talk about and stir up some controversy, maybe some conversation. Yeah, brush the tongue too, Mr. X. Good looking out on that. You got to brush the tongue.
Yeah, but that's true too. I never brush the tongue, but I guess I will.
Yeah. All right, so some really good wrestling went on over the weekend, Dave. Did you catch the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla results at all?
I know Ricochet won.
Ricochet won the Battle of Los Angeles, which is now the, I guess, the premier tournament of the
Indies? Yeah, I think now it's taken over, because, you know, first of all, Chikara was gone for a bit, and, you know, PWG just seems to be, like, the spot for the top indie guys to go and just have fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, and even our podcast brethren was in this tournament, Mr. Brian Myers, a.k.a. Kurt Hawkins, from Two and a Half Wrestlers. He was in the first round against AJ Styles.
And he lost.
And he lost. But listen, man, you know, you can't knock his hustle, you know.
Well, you know, he's going against the IWGP champ, so.
This is true indeed.
It's not an easy night, I'm sure.
True indeed. True indeed.
That's something I'll probably end up picking up. It was a stacked lineup. And, you know, PWG, you know, I don't keep in track. I don't keep in contact with all these different promotions because it's the indies. There's just too much good stuff out there. But, you know, when they pull out all the stops for something like, you know, Bola or whatever, you know, I'm on it.
Yeah, you know what? I actually just watched last year's about a month or two ago. I downloaded it, and I got to tell you, if you guys are into that Ring of Honor strong style 1700 spots and, you know, nothing but wrestling and no entertainment, well, you get entertained. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
If you want good wrestling besides Ring of Honor, check out Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It's been around for almost.
I like PWG better than Ring of Honor. So
I thought Roderick Strong was going to win it. He has been in the tournament the most.
Yeah.
I know Shining Wizards Kevin actually picked. I think he picked him to win. They were talking about it the other day when they had
somebody picked him to win.
Yeah, I think it was Kevin. You know, there was a couple of non-tournament matches on night two. The Young Bucks beat Chris Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
That must have been a hell of a match,
dude, and beat him pinfall too, clean. This match might have trumped this match, the one we just spoke of. Red Dragon, my new favorite tag team, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, defeating Biff Busick and Drew Gulak. Busick is an animal. We know how great Drew Gulak is. We should wear some knee pads, but that's besides the point.
What do you guys got against a man who's not wearing knee pads?
Let
him do his thing.
Yeah, and then there was Mount Rushmore, which now does not have Kevin Steen in it. Adam Cole, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson defeating ACH, Brian Myers, our buddy Kurt Hawkins, and Chris Sabin via pinfall. Chuck Taylor, Chris Hero, Joey Ryan, Rich Swann, and Willie Mack defeated Biff Busick, Bobby Fish, Cedric Alexander, Drew Gulak, and Tommaso Ciampa. And Dave mentioned, Ricochet defeats Johnny Gargano and Roderick Strong in the finals via pinfall to win the 2014 Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's an interesting main event because a lot of people were, from what I was hearing, a lot of people were going with Ricochet, but there was also a lot of people going for AJ Styles. And, you know, granted, AJ Styles has been around the block several times. You know, he's been a hot commodity, especially coming out of TNA and winning the IWGP Championship, which is a huge deal. Not too many white guys are winning that belt. And, you know, he didn't even make it to the finals. And Johnny Gargano, he's, you know, how can I word his status in, you know, pro wrestling? Incredible guy, but he's been around, but just hasn't really made it to that upper echelon. I know he's won the Dragon Gate USA Championship, but even on the indies, like, the competition is incredible. So it's good to hear that he made it all the way to the finals for the three-way.
Yeah, and maybe Roddy will win it one of these years. But
he's one of those guys who, I don't know, I feel like he's been, you know, granted he's been an ROH champion, but, you know, I still feel he's kind of like underlooked amongst all the great talent that is on the independents.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome independents, Chikara Pro has announced some of their teams for the King of Trios tournament this year.
Yes.
Going on in like 2 weeks. The Spirit Squad is in it.
That they were the first team announced.
So, the Spectral Envoy, which is Frightmare, Hollow Wicked, and Ultra Mantis Black. And Team UK, I'm sure our brethren from the UK can chime in on this. Damian Dunn and Pete Dunn and Mark Andrews. I think two of those guys are in progress. I'm not sure. I have to have Baza confirm that, or maybe our buddy Ben Roberts can confirm that. And there was a couple more teams, but I forgot to write them down. And it's not on the Chikara site. I'm looking at it right now.
I could pull it up on my email because I have my
email. Oh, you have the email? Awesome. Okay, if you could do that.
Yeah.
But Chikara is back. That's another fun organization. But yeah, listen, if anybody has any PWG, does PWG, maybe Nixon can answer this, does PWG run like a weekly show out on the West Coast? If they do, get me a link to the channel that has it. If not, because I want to start watching more of PWG, not just downloading their bigger shows, you know?
All right, here we go.
Okay, you guys.
Special Envoy, Team UK, The Colony, Devastation Corporation, as well as 3PECO, which is Shane Matthews, Archibald Peck, Scott Jagged Parker, Gekido, which includes The Shard, 17, and Jigsaw.
Ah.
The Golden Trio, featuring Mr. Touchdown, Icarus.
And Dasher Hatfield, right?
Dasher Hatfield, yeah.
Yep, the Golden Trio.
Yes, Icarus, the Grand Champion of Chikara. The next team is Dr. Cube and the BDK.
All right.
Ares and Nakin. And Dr. Cube is from Kaiju Big Battle.
Oh, okay.
Which, I don't know, it's been, how can I word Kaiju Big Battle these days? It's been, like, almost non-existent. I don't even know if they still do,
They run some shows, don't they? Like, a couple of, like, they do, like, four shows a year, like the old WWF does?
I think so, but their shows aren't what they used to be. For those that don't know what Kaiju Big Battle is, it was this very, it was pretty much like a Godzilla fight.
Yeah.
Inside of a wrestling ring, they would have like these paper mache buildings and weapons and stuff like that for these guys that are pretty much in Godzilla suits fighting each other. And here's a little insider information: a lot of those guys were professional wrestlers. Like I know Pinky Sanchez was in one of those suits. I forgot which guy he would do, but it would be like this rotating line of like professional wrestlers who would actually be in these suits, but. You know, obviously they're very limited by the Godzilla suits, but it was a fun night out, regardless of, you know, what the circumstances were. There were even times where I remember Chris Hero as himself would face some of these guys, and occasionally they would break out the cage. And but I know the last several shows that I went to, like, they didn't have their own shows. They would either be jumping on with Dragon Gate, which didn't work too well for them, because... those fans in particular, Dragon Gate USA fans, rather.
Right.
They're very, they just want to see wrestling. They don't want to see Godzilla fights, you know?
Yeah.
But, so last several times that I saw Kaiju Big Battle, they were getting a lot of boos, but hopefully this will work out in their favor at King of Trios. But anyway, here's a Chikara throwback for you. Night Eye for the Pirate Guy. Which features Jolly Roger, who is also a masked guy on the card. If you don't know who, figure it out. Lance Steele and Princess Kimberly.
Yep.
And Old Fashioned, featuring Jervis Cottonbelly and Marion Fontaine, is teaming up with Thunder Kitty. And last, but certainly not least, Kazarni,
yeah.
Who's also, well, he was Kazarni in WWE.
And he was Sin Bodhi, right?
Yeah, Sin Bodhi right. Had one of Jake the Snake Roberts' students. But in my opinion, I've never been a big Kazarni fan. I saw him, I actually was there for his WWE debut on SmackDown, which was god-awful. And I've seen him in Chikara, and the guy was always really bad. But hopefully... something has turned, you know, to this guy's favor. But he's joined by the Auditorium, which is Kefka the Quiet and Sir Oliver Grimsley. So, in my opinion, I've been to a good chunk of the King of Trios. This doesn't look like, to me at least, this doesn't look like a big deal. But
definitely not the one from 2012. 2012 was awesome.
That was the one with Brian Danielson in it, right?
Yeah,
I was there for that. That was off the chain.
Yeah, that's how I got my kid hooked on it. I bought them the DVD set. He still watches them, you know.
Yeah, it was. Well, I remember that team in particular. It was just before he was going to WWE.
Yep.
Brian Danielson, aka Daniel Bryan, teaming with Squire Dave Taylor and Johnny Saint of World of Sport fame, and yep. That was an awesome team to behold.
Yeah, Chikara comes correct. Another one of those fun leagues, family-orientated, really good talent. They primarily here on the East Coast, and they do Canada too. They just came back after a year off doing some kind of crazy storyline.
Yeah, they do Chicago sometimes.
They do Chicago.
Yeah, they come out to the Midwest.
If you guys get a chance, a couple of months ago, I know the proprietor of Chikara, Mike Quackenbush, was on. He was on what's-his-face's podcast, Cole Cabana's, and he pretty much explains how Chikara fans are different from the regular internet wrestling community and independent wrestling fans. Some of it I didn't agree with, but some of the stuff makes really good sense. And
well, what did he say?
Well, he wrote like he was writing some stuff down for the, you know, how they took the year off, how they had the storyline where the big corporation took over Chikara and they shut him down. And he kind of insisted like other wrestling fans just don't get it. In other words, he questioned our intelligence. You know, like, you know, he was just he kind of came off like he was condescending. And I don't think he was trying to be, but he was trying to put up.
I think that's been a lot of issues with Quack and a lot of guys, because a lot of people that I know who've wrestled under him, you know, having him as their teacher and all. And also guys who've just worked with him in the past. Like, he's one of those kind of guys who you see him on, you know, the DVDs, and you see him wrestle in person, and, you know, whatever promos he does, seems like a really all right guy. But there's possibly a chip on his shoulder, and it kind of comes off indirectly when he talks.
Yeah, and you heard that, Dave, when he was on Cabana's podcast.
I'm gonna have to give it a listen because I've dealt with the guy on a few small occasions. He always treated me right, but I'm not a worker, so I'm not dealing with him on that level, you know. So, I'll give it a listen,
yeah,
and see for myself as well as everybody else. But Chikara is, in my opinion, because for a good while, me and some of my friends, we went to like every show every month. And if they had more than one show, we would make it a point to go to every show that we could possibly go to.
Yeah.
Like, we would even take road trips, you know. If they were going to be like all over the place in PA, we would drive to whatever the next town was. Like, these really, like, you know, country bumpkin kind of towns that are in PA that's not Philly.
Yes.
And we would make the trek. You know, Chikara was, and I'm sure it still is, you know, a very premier wrestling federation. It's not the same thing as Ring of Honor. It's not the same as PWG. It's a beast unto itself. It's very comic book, you know, nerd, you know, oriented. And very lucha oriented.
It's very, very fun.
And most importantly, it's fun.
Absolutely.
I would love to go to King of Trios this year. I don't think I can make it this year,
it's 2 weeks. Yeah, I can't go either. I would like to. If I go, I would have to go A with you, so I can tell the wife it's research for the show.
For the show, research.
No, she'll get. I'll say, listen, babe, I'm going with Dave, and for the show, and she'll say, okay, oh, no problem. And then, like, it would have to be, like, the one day. Like, I'd go for the finals.
Yeah.
You know. So
I would love to go for all days, but just financially not in the cards.
It's not in the cards. If you do go for one day, keep me in mind. I'll probably probably take the trip with you.
I'm most likely not, but if they do another show in New York, you know, I'll try to swing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun time. Mikey loves it. Mikey loved Chikara. Loved everything about it. Took a picture with Mr. Touchdown and Dasha Hatfield. Got himself a lucha mask. It's, again, a good time. Very, like I mentioned, very, very family orientated.
Yeah.
They don't cut racy promos. They don't, you know, they don't swear.
It's very much like WWF in the late 80s.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Stuff like that.
But,
very,
you know,
gimmicky.
With a bit more talent.
Yeah, much more talent.
All right, we'll stick with the independents for a second. Our brethren, our podcast brethren, Pat Buck, and his organization with Eric Tapout from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, They are starting a GoFundMe page. It's a campaign to raise efforts to gain the means to produce, edit, and distribute an hour-long episodic show. The funds will be
used. They're looking for $65,000.
Yeah, their funds will be used to purchase TV exposure, web hosting, modify all existing equipment, and purchase new equipment to do it all themselves, including lights, ring aprons, ring canvases, guardrails, guardrail covers, floor mats, lights, light truss, three HD cameras, monitors, and cables. Mainly, I would throw a couple of bucks to it when time allows me, because our other podcast brother in arms, Shining Wizards Eddie, is very much involved in the editing and producing of their new Monday Night Mayhem show. It's on YouTube. And I would, you know, we're fans. I'm not giving them a couple hundred bucks because I can't afford it. But I'll support Pro Wrestling Syndicate. We're fans of PWS and we're fans of Pat Buck and Eric Tapout and all those.
Now, how does GoFundMe work? Is it kind of like an Indiegogo thing?
Same thing as Indiegogo. Same thing as Kickstarter.
So, Kickstarter and Indiegogo are different because for Kickstarter, if you don't reach your goal, you don't keep the money.
Oh, that I don't – see, that part I don't know. But I know, like, if you pay a certain amount, you get certain things. Like
It's all the same deal, but I know each site is different. Like, Indiegogo, if you don't reach your goal, you still keep the money.
Yeah.
But Kickstarter, if you don't reach your goal, you don't get any of the money. I don't know how GoFundMe works.
More important –
isn't our buddy Matt –
yes, that was.
We have a GoFundMe. Can we plug that?
Thank you, Dave. Good segue. GoFundMe.com/COTFTC. Yeah, COTFTC. That's our buddy Matt. He's fundraising for medication. That's a little bit more important than PWS. But since we were on that subject, and I have it down in my notes, and Dave gave me the great segue. I love how Dave and I think, which is why I had it written down like that. And, take care of Matt. And our next project, all the proceeds will be going to Matt. We'll keep you updated in a couple of weeks. It's almost ready to print and almost ready to distribute. Just waiting on some stuff to get done artwork-wise. And we'll be keeping you guys in the loop with that.
Yeah.
So
now I have a question for you.
Sure, sir.
Playing devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate.
Or devil's.
Devil's.
Do you think an indie promotion should be asking fans for that kind of money, $65,000? To be exact, thank you, Axel, $432.10.
Here's the deal.
Don't they have a backer? Don't they have somebody helping them do the shows in the first place? Or?
I don't know their financial situation. I know Eric and Pat run it. I think they both own it too. Their fan base is pretty rabid. I know podcast hosts that were up for a Stitcher Award a few years ago, Mish and Joey from Wrestling Soup, they actually raised their funds and their fans pay for their airfare to go to California to get their award. Well, not to get their award, they were up for an award. They didn't get it, but yeah, they lost by like to ESPN, but they were nominated for like best sports podcast by Stitcher.
That's a big leap from
right, but they weren't asking for $65,000. They were asking for a couple of grand or whatever it wasn't. Either way, and what Mish did was, which is pretty cool. If you paid, or if you helped them pay for their trip, he gave listeners, I think, like backstage access to like that. You know, whatever it is, it is what it is. But there's always an incentive. I don't know. Honestly, dude, I don't know if you should be asking for money.
That's a lot of money, $65,000. Yeah. Man, you know, no offense to Pat Buck, no offense to Kevin Matthews or Eddie or any of them, but that's a lot of money. And to be asking for fans for that kind of money, it's kind of, to me, it kind of comes off like, okay, well, we don't have any money.
Yeah, no,
we want you to pay for everything.
Yeah, you know what? Dave and I were going to ask for money to raise for our website, and then we thought better of it. And because of that reason, I had mixed emotions about it. And I figured, you know what? Because Dave was out of work, and everything's coming out of my pocket at this point.
Yeah.
And whatever, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, I didn't want to pay another $200 or whatever it was for the website, which I will eventually when time allows. We don't need it. It wasn't a need, it was a want.
Yeah.
I'm only going to ask for money for most. I'm plugging their website, and I'm plugging them because we love PWS and of course Dave Destruction is part of PWS. He's part of Shining Wizards Network too, and so is 2.5 Wrestlers. And we love the product, and we'll actually be there on September 20th with them before after the Ricky Steamboat signing. So I mean, it's a big deal for them. I mean, I don't know if I can do it, but I would rather raise money for Matt and his cause. I'd rather raise money for a cause like I normally do. You know, like we do monthly stuff to St. Jude and to AIDS and
because one thing for a guy to be in pain and one thing for a wrestling company to be in pain because they got to pay the bills.
Right, and you know what? It's kind of hard.
Yeah,
as a promoter,
I want to see PWS succeed, but I want to see them do things the right way.
I think they're in the right direction, and I mentioned this a couple of times. They're in the right place geographically. They have, like I mentioned, the rabid fan base, and they're talented guys there. It's not like you're going to an indie show.
Their homegrown guys are better than the names that they're bringing in. Because like you got Bret Hart. Granted, when's how often are people going to go see Bret Hart? Indie, that's rarely happening. How often are you going to see Vader?
Yeah.
Or Ricky Steamboat or any of these guys? They don't really come around that often. And to their benefit, a lot of these guys don't have to. Steamboat is a WWE guy again, so he doesn't really have to do any of these shows, or he doesn't have to come out to PWS, but it's a little extra money in his pocket, and a lot of people get to see a guy that they wouldn't normally see on any occasion.
And before we get into our Facebook questions, I see some glow action in the chat room. I want to thank everybody for their feedback. I want to thank Little Egypt from Glow for her feedback. She loved the last show. Dave and I have been speaking to her via social media. She wants to call into the show. Just the time difference is blocking her right now in her busy schedule.
We might get her next week. She sent me a message.
Yeah, she sent Dave a message. She might call in next week. She's out on the West Coast. But she loved the show. She plugged the show. She listened to the show, which...
Thanks to Stick for...
shout out to Stick Man, Apex Wrestling Entertainment up in...
That was him. That was all him.
Yeah, Stick said to her, "Hey, you might want to listen to this." And you know what? It's cool. And we got some really good feedback on it from people on Twitter as well. So I'm glad we reached out to. We got some new fans out of it, and we have a fan in Little Egypt. So that's pretty kick ass.
Yeah, that's a big deal when the people whose work that we praise praises us back. That's a huge deal.
And just a quick fanboy note, I read today on superherohype.com that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be playing Black Adam in the upcoming Shazam movie.
Who's Black Adam? I haven't read Shazam in...
Black Adam is the bad Shazam. He's like, yeah, dude. You know what? Next time you come over, I'll give you the last animated movie with Shazam and Black Adam in it. Mm. It was pretty kick-ass.
All right.
It came out like 2 years ago. Really, really good shit. But yeah, the Rock's gonna play Black Adam, which is perfect for him. Perfect role.
Because he's black?
No, because he's same skin tone and same built. Like he's not really Black Adam. He's Black Adam because he wears the suit. But he's I guess mulatto. I guess I don't know. And some whoever writes him.
Samoan.
No, I meant Black Adam, not Dwayne Johnson. I know Dwayne Johnson's. Half African American and half Samoan. Okay, let's get some Facebook questions. I only have one, but I think there was one more that I didn't get because I was doing my notes yesterday at work. Big Tone wants to know, Dave and Phil, do you think that Vince would bring back that belt, meaning the AWA belt?
No.
That WWE put on since he owns the AWA name? Probably not.
No, absolutely not. Because most people don't even, most fans, don't know what the AWA is. And I'm sure most fans, if they brought the belt back, especially the one that you posted, it'd be like, oh, what's that? Granted, the one that you posted up, that's probably like the best looking version of that belt I've ever seen in my life.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a great picture. And as I was typing it.
That's an ugly belt, too.
It was an ugly belt. Beautiful. Yeah, you know what? And it's funny because as I was typing it, you said that's like the best looking belt that they've had, that best looking type. And I was like, I was saying the same thing out loud as I was typing.
Well, the best one was the last version of it.
I think that was the last version of it.
The last version was the one that Kurt Hennig had and Jerry Lawler had in USWA.
Now the one that Jerry Lawler had, were the side plates were they colored?
Yeah, they were colored.
I don't remember, but either way, I thought that was the last one. It's still a nice belt, though.
Yeah, it looks really good. For all the Japanese fans out there, you know, the AWA title was used as the 0-1 championship as yep. well. And it was that belt, that the photo that you posted on the page, which is the one, you know, for anybody who's listening to this in the future, it's the one that Stan Hansen ran over in his pickup truck.
0-1, which was – that was Steve Corino. He was –
Steve Corino, Otani,
yeah.
Yuji Nagata wore that title, and I believe Hashimoto wore that belt as well.
Baza wants to know, will Roderick Strong ever win a bowler tournament? I was saying the same thing before.
No.
probably not. He's been in it so many times. I was hoping he would have won this time. Yeah, man. And our buddy Jason Grooms wants to know, wasn't Super Clash that event where multiple wrestlers and managers did those horrific, and he wrote horrific in big caps, horrific musical renditions to the beat of the Super Bowl Shuffle?
No, that was the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
That was the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Thank you, Dave.
Yes.
Okay. Any other news and notes before we break and take a quick break and come back with our kick-ass throwback tonight? Oh, you know what? I want to talk about Michael Sam. Do you mind?
What's that?
I want to talk about Michael Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so to all sports fans out there, we know that the NFL season kicks off tomorrow, officially on Sunday. All the cuts were made prior to the game tomorrow, and the St. Louis Rams drafted arguably the second best defensive player out of college, Michael Sam. Michael Sam, also the first openly gay football player. Not a big deal. The man is talented. Unfortunately, the team that drafted him has so much depth in the position he plays, which is defensive end, that they couldn't hold on to him. So they cut him. So, of course, now WWE goes crazy and advertises the entire night of Raw that they were inviting him to come on. So inviting him to come on is like saying, okay, you're not booked, but you know, we're inviting you to come on our show and have your say and whatever. You know, if he comes to Raw, we would have given him a microphone and let him tell his side of the story. There really was no side of the story. Here's the deal. Well, first of all, he got signed by the Dallas Cowboys anyway, almost instantaneously to their practice squad. So he already has a job. As a matter of fact, he passed his physical, and he had his first day with the Cowboys today, and they put him on a practice squad. Mm. So each roster has 53 positions, and they have 9 or 10 positions at the practice squad. In other words, if some of the guys on the 53 get hurt, they have these 9 or 10 guys on a practice squad, and they bring you up. If he stays on the team for the entire year on a practice squad, he can make up to $100,000. So, again, my issue with this is simple. It's really not about a sexual preference. WWE wants to make it about a sexual preference.
They just want to get a guy who's, you know, a hot topic on television.
Yeah.
And have him on the show. Because they already have a gay black guy on the roster.
Darren Young. And my issue is, too, it's like, you know, I don't understand. It's 2014, okay? If this guy – I could see if this guy was a veteran – and then he comes out of the closet. Well, not even the closet, but they don't even call it coming out of the closet anymore. It's coming out. He comes out while he's in college. So it wasn't like a guy who was in the league for 10 years. He was like, oh, by the way, I'm gay. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. And then they cut him, and now we have something. The Rams didn't cut him because he was gay. The Rams cut him because they had too much depth at that position. Now he could play somewhere else. He could drop back. He could be a lineman. He could play special teams. If you're a sports guy, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to bore Dave with all this because Dave's not a sports fan. But
yeah.
The bottom line is that it's just – I think it's bad PR. And I'm glad they backed out of it, and I'm glad he's on the Cowboys, and I'm glad he has a job. I don't care about a sexual preference. I want him to be a successful athlete.
The guy's going to be making bank anyway.
Yeah, if he – yeah,
pay or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And, you know, ESPN exploited this guy, Dave. When he got drafted, they had a camera in his house of him kissing his boyfriend after he celebrated him getting drafted. And yeah. Then they put, like, a thing on a report on his shower habits. I don't care about all that.
Yeah, like it should be to a point where none of that shit should matter. Like, right. I don't give two fucks if a guy is gay,
yeah,
straight, or whatever.
Right, exactly.
I don't care if the guy, like, jerks off all day.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. It's about talent. And same thing. See, Darren Young got his 5 minutes, and he's not even on TV. And we called it. We knew that was going to happen. You know, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, because for one thing, it would draw all this attention to the WWE. And wrestling, it's like, you know, regardless of how it is, you know, now it's like on a Super Bowl level where cities are fighting over WrestleMania and all this other kind of stuff. But still, I know for WWE, it's still a weird thing. You know, even the Pat Patterson thing wasn't even that was old hat. Everybody knew that. Even if you weren't a big wrestling fan, you knew about it. But it's just the way that they handle certain things, like specifically with their talent. It's like if it's happening somewhere else, it's fine. But if it's happening within, it's an issue.
Yeah, I
just, if they try to sweep it under the rug, if it's, you know, like the whole Darren Young thing, that came out, you know, by accident on TMZ, but WWE didn't do shit. I think they gave him like a match on Raw or something like that. But other than that, like they didn't really acknowledge it, and they didn't he didn't get a push out of it.
Right.
Exactly. And you know, they kind of just swept it under the rug. Even with Pat Patterson, you know, it was a big deal on Legends House, but everybody knew about it. So whatever press it got, you know, WWE didn't really acknowledge it or make a big deal out of it. But if it's happening somewhere else, then it's different, you know. But that's also kind of how Vince McMahon works. You know, he doesn't take risks; he takes calculated risks. And basically, you know, same thing with ECW, WCW. Once those guys became popular for, you know, doing reality, then they started doing reality, you know?
I'm done with society taking precedent over people because of their sexual preference.
And it's just trying to make a buck.
Yeah, it's nauseating, you know?
Like, if I were a gay guy, or if I had some sort of disability, or, you know, something that the news could exploit, I wouldn't want anything to do with it.
It's 2014.
It's hokey. It's kind of like reality TV shows. Yeah. Reality TV shows are like, are the fucking, like, garbage, like, shit end of the stick.
Yeah.
You know, part of television. But they keep putting these things out. It's like, you know, it's kind of like it's jumped the shark. All these shows are scripted. And but, you know, they keep pumping them out. But it's like, I don't know. Like, it's like they're grasping for something new. They're not grasping for something new. They're just grasping for whatever they can get. So, you know, let's throw out another Kardashian show. Let's do Total Divas. You know, let's get this, you know, gay football player on our show because he's a big deal for the 5 seconds now, you know?
Yeah.
What happened to Lynn Sanity? Isn't that dead now, too?
Yeah, he's two teams removed, so.
Yeah.
Now he's a Laker. All right, so let's take a quick break. Let's plug our friends, and we'll come back with a kick-ass throwback for you tonight. I threw a hint up there before the show started. And, you know, do it up Midwest style. Tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on Rant EM Radio, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
There are many ways you can support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Go to iTunes, search the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media. Leave a review. While you're there, check out all the other fine programming we have. We're on Stitcher. We're on Buzzsprout. We're on Geek Life Radio every Saturday evening. What are you waiting for? Check us out. You want to email us, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at TBuckleTbacks. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/turnbucklethrowbacks. Join the group that we have as well. And we have T-shirts, kids, T-shirts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbucklethrowbacks. We have three designs, the original logo, the NES cartridge parody logo, and the British-inspired World of Sport Shining Wizards Network Turnbuckle Throwbacks T-shirt. It's the Rant. It's the Shining Wizards Network. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's entertainment here.
In trying to make an artistic statement, one should be careful not to let one's personal aroma do the talking. In order not to offend the critics, I recommend Rygar's Horse Stick. It provides maximum protection and the freshest scents, a sublime palette of odoriferous emanations. After all, a true artiste should be remembered for his inspiration, not his perspiration. Rygar Sport Stick. Anything less would be uncivilized.
Hey, hey, Thelonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumours and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com, with such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, The Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship, Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
Hey, Big Phil from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As soon as you're done with this show, head on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, with such delicious programming as the Neckbreaker Podcast. Of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers with Pat Buck, Jay Silva, and Kevin Matthews, our boys Mike and Adam over at the Midnight Jury, Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101, Apex Wrestling Entertainment, and of course, the Godfathers themselves, the Shining Wizards Network. So what are you waiting for? Go to www.shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Hey, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. As soon as you're done with our show, head on over to RantEMRadio.com. That's right, RantEMRadio.com. For such awesome programming as The Rant, every Tuesday night with AA and Tony C, every Wednesday night live with Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers. You have Mr. Will.i.am Morgan every Saturday evening with the Wrestling Call-In Show with Rage. And, of course, you got Jordan Surfer every Sunday for the What Are You Reading comic book show with a new time every Sunday at 5 p.m. with a special appearance by the Lex Experience on a weekly basis as well. It's the entertainment you love, the history you crave. It's the Rant. RantEMRadio.com.
After a hard day at the office, working up a big thirst, many professionals reach for the smooth taste of Mellow Yellow.
Woo, baby! Mellow Yellow, the taste! that beats Mountain Dew.
And now, Mellow Yellow has pictures and all the facts on your favorite NWA wrestlers. Ric Flair, Sting, the Road Warriors,
and even my pretty face.
Head to your favorite store and collect all 12.
Woo! Take it from Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. Make the Mellow Yellow move.
This is the Black Scorpion, and when I'm not looking for Sting, I'm listening to the Shining Wizards podcast, shiningwizards.com. Be a mark. Buy the shirt. I'm coming for you. Sting.
'87, I wrestled Curt Hennig in Las Vegas at the was then the Showboat Hotel, and in an hour match, and he wound up with about 12 stitches in the last 5 minutes of the match. And when people ask me about Curt Hennig, I have to say that he's one of the finest young athletes in the profession, and now he's an experienced seasoned veteran, and I still think he's one of the finest talents in the profession. Got the heritage of second generation, much like myself, and 245 pounds, and very well cut, very well conditioned and put together. I would love to see him get the opportunity in the WWF or whatever organization he's going to be with to do his thing. And I can't praise the man enough as far as my respect and admiration for his talent, his ability, and what I know he can do in the ring.
All right, welcome back to the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast. Little Nick Bockwinkle for you.
Breaking news from Nick Bockwinkle about Curt Hennig.
That was a YouTube part of a YouTube shoot called Wrestling Moments. And, you know, he had some kind words to say about Curt Hennig, which was cool. And, you know, a lot of people had good words about Curt Hennig. Nice words.
I never really heard a bad thing about the guy.
So, we have a kick-ass throwback. Maybe we'll take some calls tonight, too, because we're a little...
Yeah, we're breezing by tonight.
Yeah, we're ahead of schedule. We're light in the news, and I really didn't want to talk about a lot of news anyway. Just, you know, the Michael Sand thing really chapped my ass. Other than that, really just nothing else. But
I think it chapped a lot of people's asses. Yeah. Actually, I'd love that phrase, chapping the ass.
All right, Mega Pals, let's get right into our throwback tonight.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Love that. Still one of my best drops. All right. So, you know... This wasn't really hard for us. We talked. This is something that we spoke about a while ago, that we wanted to do something with the AWA because I had watched a documentary a couple months ago, and Dave and I were talking, and I said we really should do some AWA stuff.
Yeah, we're always heavy on the E end of things, and second place always goes to WCW NWA, and I think with the Monday Night Wars documentaries and all the Nitros and Raws on the network, I think we might have to go back to that. But
no, I mean, there's so much to cover.
Yeah.
You know? But the AWA holds weight with me particularly because by the time I had gotten cable television in my neighborhood growing up, thank you for that, Black Scorpion. The voice is good. That was me, Matt. I just saw the chat room. By the time cable got into me in my old neighborhood, AWA was in syndication and was being broadcasted through ESPN. And it was just another outlet of wrestling for us to see. And before that, it was just the publications holding us down that, you know, and then obviously in high school, we started tape trading. But,
yeah,
you know, a lot of talent came through there when they were still connected to the NWA.
Yeah.
And I mean, the AWA is a different bird. mainly because Vern Gagne, it was, you know, a Gagneocracy, you know, it was like a thing.
Gagneocracy.
Yeah,
wow.
It was, you know, when you see the documentary, it was his way or the highway.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's a guy, you know, Mr. Minnesota, you know, and I mean Mr. Minnesota, not the bodybuilder or, you know, but I mean, like, the guy was a legit Olympic champion, lettered in, like, 7 different sports. The guy was a wrestling champion before he went pro. And he was the proprietor and the owner and the booker for a long time of AWA.
He was like the Brock Lesnar of wrestling at the time.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because it's, you know.
Or Kurt Hennig, one of the two.
Yeah, but you know.
Kurt Angle, my bad.
Like the AWA, you know, it ran from like 1960 to like the early 90s. It was with the NWA. And it broke away in the 50s, but they always had some kind of affiliate. You know, so, again, Gagne ran – he ran in Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, Nebraska, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Denver, Utah, Vegas, Phoenix, and Frisco.
And a lot of huge names came out of the AWA.
I mean, more importantly.
That were bred from the AWA.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Hulk Hogan –
Hogan was not a bred AWA guy. Guys
no,
like
but he,
Flair.
He, but he cut his teeth in the AWA. And so
Mania really started in the AWA.
Right, and Flair was actually trained by Gagne.
Yeah.
In his
I think
camp.
Ken Patera was in his class.
Yeah, Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik, Sergeant Slaughter.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think they were all in the same class, but they all came out of Vern's barn.
It was
trained in Steamboat, I believe.
Dave, it was a who's who. Gene Okerlund, Bobby Heenan, Adrian Adonis, you mentioned Ken Patera, Jim Brunzel, Dr. D, David Schultz, Wendy Richter,
Jesse
Ventura, Piper.
Superstar
Billy Graham, Roddy Piper, Greg Valentine, the Briscoes, you mentioned Steamboat, Bob Orton.
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Ray the Crippler Stevens, Dick the Bruiser, Baron Von Raschke.
The Crusher. Bockwinkle.
Yeah, well, I mentioned Bockwinkle. Mad Dog Vachon, Larry the Axe, which is Kurt's dad. You know, and of course the cross promoting with Texas, WCCW, and more importantly,
the Rockers.
The Midnight Rockers, yeah. The Beverly Brothers, you know, they were known as the Destruction Crew back then. Brad Riggins was an Olympian himself. I mean, you had guys coming out of there, you know. But
this was a gold mine.
Yeah, man. This was a gold mine. And
of all the places, you know, NWA, they kept a lot of their top guys.
Dude, Scott Hall, Greg Gagne, Larry Zbyszko, which I played in the beginning, you know.
Zbyszko was already – he was already out of the WWWF.
Right. He turned on San Martino and then cut his teeth in the Midwest because he wound up marrying Vern's daughter.
Yeah, which was – the story was Vern was trying to get Hogan to marry her. Because he was the top guy.
Right.
So then Luscious Larry stepped in and took her to Electric Larry Land.
Larry Land. Listen, people give me shit for this, but I really enjoyed the Larry Land promos. They were pretty funny.
I don't think I've heard any of them, but I heard of them.
Yeah, it's just like they had this big, like the backdrop behind them was, you know, like a carnival scene, and it said Larry Land on it. He would just cut these promos. Yeah. That was more funny to me. Listen, the Nasty Boys were one of the Nasty Boys were part of AWA at this point too. Buddy Rose, Playboy Buddy Rose and Doug Summers, Medusa Miceli, Sherry Martel, DJ Peterson. Wasn't DJ Peterson the Patriot? No, Del Wilkes was the Patriot.
No, Del Wilkes.
Del Wilkes. Oh, what about
he was at GWF.
Yeah, dude, what about the Orient Express? There weren't they Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond? Diamond Dallas Page.
They were.
Diamond Dallas Page. All these guys came out of AWA. Rock and Roll Bug Zumoff, the Kid Toucher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, a lot of guys.
Steve Regal.
Mr. Electric, Steve Regal.
The Road Warriors.
The Road Warriors, that's right.
It's, Stan I mean, Hansen.
Stan Hilarion Hansen. Didn't Brody was in AWA for a while now?
Yeah, he was in AWA.
See, I mean, the list is endless. The list is endless. A lot of guys came through Vern's promotion.
Who's who of wrestling royalty?
But tonight we kick it back to May 2nd, 1987 in the Cow Palace in San Jose near San Francisco, California. Cow Palace, the former home of the San Jose Sharks, if you're a hockey fan. I know Matt is. I'm myself. A couple of people that follow the show are hockey fans. Not a big card, Mega Powers.
Well, the card was big.
Well, no, not really. I mean, the card was big.
The turnout was not big at all.
Yeah, well, the card was okay, but the card wasn't that big. But the attendance was terrible. 2,800 paid, allegedly.
And it's like a 20,000-seat arena.
Cow Palace, let me see. I'll tell you right now. Cow Palace holds, what the blood clot, 11,000 for hockey, 12,000 for basketball. So, I mean.
So then probably like 20,000 for wrestling.
Maybe like 18.
Still, that's pretty close to 20,000. Regardless.
It's an old arena.
These seats were nowhere near being filled.
It's an old arena. It was built in the 40s.
Yeah, but it was a hotbed for wrestling.
It was a hotbed for wrestling. I mean, San Francisco, the NWA San Francisco was a huge promotion. Guys like Pat Patterson and Bachwinkle, all those guys.
Freddie Blassie. John Tolos.
Yeah. The Tolos brothers went through.
Ricky Dozon was cutting his teeth there.
Yeah, Antonino Rocca. A lot of guys went through there. San Martino wrestled out there for a while.
Yeah, Mil Mascaras.
Mil Mascaras, yeah, definitely. All right, so this was Super Clash 2. Super Clash was the WrestleMania of the AWA. There were, I think, how many were there? There were four of them, actually.
And WrestleRock was not one of their main. Well, no. WrestleRock was one of the main shows. But,
well, their big card was 85, and that was in Comiskey Park, and that was with Ric Flair, Magnum TA, and that was when Martel fought Stan Hansen to the double countout. Kerry Von Erich, and I mean, that was a crazy. Mil Mascaras and Buddy Roberts was in that.
And Comiskey Park is a big wrestling space too, I believe. Buddy Rogers with his classic match against Pat O'Connor, and even bigger, what was it? Frank Gotch versus George Hackenschmidt for the big rematch was there.
That's the south side of Chicago, former home of the Chicago White Sox as well. So, but tonight we're talking about Super Clash 2. And again, like Dave mentioned, a hotbed for pro wrestling.
Oh, specifically one match.
Yeah, one match. But I'll run down.
I want to talk about also the match that happened before this.
What, Martel and Medusa?
No. The hour-long Broadway between Curt Hennig and Nick Bachwinkle.
All right. Well, okay. All right. So you want to run down that match first, and then this match?
Yeah, because that one happened before this one. And Bachwinkle talked about it in the clip that you put up.
Right.
And it's a perfect segue because...
He wrestled him... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. But he mentions that... first of all, before I even get to that match, real quick, you know, these guys have been facing each other since probably around 85 on a regular basis, where there was, like, the tag match that was mentioned before the show started. Or, they would have non-title and title matches beforehand. Like, actually, before this, I was watching their match at the Brawl in St. Paul, December 25th, 1985. Or was it 80? No, it was 86. And AWA, this was just their thing because I think, you know, in part because Vern Gagne was an accomplished, you know, wrestler in his own part. I think he held the AWA title more so than anybody else, mainly because it was his promotion. How can I word it? You know, anybody who's running their own promotion, same with Misawa and Noah, they're going to put the strap on themselves.
Right.
Just because it's a safe bet. You know, with cases like Stan Hansen, you know, taking the title and going to Japan with it or driving, you know, driving his truck over the belts numerous times. Like, it's always a safe bet. But the thing with the AWA was he always had an old-ass champion, whether it was Vern Gagne winning the belts like a million times or the belt going to Nick Bockwinkel. And also keep in mind the mindset with AWA was wrestling. It was not entertainment. Granted, you know, they had a lot of guys that jump shipped immediately when WWF was, you know, coming knocking. Because those guys knew, you know, wrestling was, it was both. It was sport and spectacle. So, but Vern Gagne's mindset was always wrestling. And this dude fought tooth and nail to keep professional wrestling wrestling, regardless of the sports entertainment aspect. And, you know, the entertainment side has been going on since the dawn of time. You know, since the carnivals, it, you know, the Gotch Hackenschmidt match, that was worked. Gorgeous George, a work. You know, all these guys, works. You know, Buddy Rogers, a work. You know, entertainers. You know, acting. It's what sells the tickets. But Vern Gagne was always like focused on the wrestling portion, which is why guys like Nick Bockwinkel, who, granted, they were smooth as hell, velvety smooth on the mic. But when they got in that ring, it was wrestling. So there was always that battle between young and old, wrestling versus sports entertainment, and this was no different. As Curt Hennig was very much really trying to get that Ric Flair aspect across with his persona, you know, even when he teamed up with Scott Hall, you know, for their team, you know, they were trying to do the spectacular stuff. Curt Hennig's big finishing move at the time was the drop kick off the top rope, along with the axe, you know, forearm. But you know, dudes weren't you know, doing the crazy shit like drop kicks off the top rope. So even with Hogan and Bockwinkel, young versus old, all this was like building to a head. And when this was going down, I think this was pretty much Nick Bockwinkel's swan song as AWA champion. And one of their first big matches was the Broadway that they had on ESPN for the AWA Championship. Let me pull up the date. But it was at the Riviera Casino Hotel.
That's right. Beautiful this Las Vegas, Nevada.
And I was complaining about it last episode because it looked like there was like 50 people there.
Well, again, and then that's what I said to you. Like, I thought it was like the same deal as TNA when they do the Universal thing where they have guys, people just show up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh, look at this, Bob. Like, there's wrestling in the other room. You want to go in? Yeah, let me play the slots first, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of bag.
So they had this match, you know, this is leading up to Super Clash 2.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very much a Sting, Ric Flair, Clash of the Champions kind of deal. You know, Curt Hennig, mainly known as a tag team wrestler, whether he was teaming up with Scott Hall or teaming up with his dad, Larry the Axe, you know, he hadn't really broken out as a singles competitor. He had several matches with Bockwinkel singles beforehand, but you know, it was building up to that point. It's like, okay, the AWA needs a new star. Hogan was gone.
Yeah, he was the young up-and-coming star. And what's funny, too, is that Bockwinkel, and you mentioned Gagne putting a belt on himself a lot, but Bockwinkel was, I guess, in wrestling, he was like, I guess, in any business, he was the constant professional.
Yeah.
The guy was, like, somebody mentioned on, yeah, Mr. X, he said he was smooth on the mic. He was smooth on the mic. Didn't really need Bobby Heenan as the mouthpiece, but they worked together well up until this time. Well, Bobby Heenan was gone by this time.
Yeah.
But Nick Bockwinkel had built this reputation of being a stiff, hardworking tactician, a ring general, if you will.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry. Carry on.
So, but they needed new blood.
Yeah.
And it was very clear with Hulk Hogan that Vern completely dropped the ball. And it wasn't just with the t-shirt sales. It was the constant, dusty finishes with, Hogan, pinning Bockwinkel. But there was always like some sort of like, oh, you threw him over the top rope, so that's a disqualification, or the referee got hit, or, there was always, some sort of BS finish that was keeping Hogan and other wrestlers, even Curt Hennig before this match. The brawl in St. Paul, classic example, he tossed Bockwinkel over the top rope. Curt Hennig got disqualified, but, he hits him with the drop kick off the top rope. Referee, taps him on the back three times. Everybody thinks the title's changed hands. There was always controversy, but the title would always go back to, Bockwinkel. Granted, that's a great little scheme they got there to get the fans to come back and, dish out more cash, but it kept happening over and over and over again. Something had to give. There had to be new blood. So there was this match, Riviera Casino Hotel. I don't have the date. I'm on a tear right now. I can't look right now, but I'll find it.
Run with it, baby. Run with it.
So, but they had this match leading up to Super Clash 2. Hour-long time limit. They did tease at the beginning of the match, like, oh, you never know. Could go all the way. You're ready to go 60 minutes, huh, Ron Trodgard? And that's exactly what happened. And this was a classic wrestling match, and a match I'm fully, happily glad to say this is, in my opinion, this is a 5-star match. And there's a lot of submission holds. There's a lot of like working the leg and 10-minute headlocks, all that kind of stuff. But it all makes sense. Like, they build it up like to such a perfect pace. You can't put it any better with Curt Hennig in this match. Like, they're working the arms, they're working the legs, and they build it up like so slowly that once it comes to the end, it's like a fevered pitch. The guys are, they're going for roll-ups. They're going for, there's more power moves, more suplexes, more backdrops, more guys getting thrown out of the ring. And, Nick Bockwinkel mentioned, in the that shoot interview at the beginning of the segment, he gets juiced. I believe Curt Hennig gets his face hit up against the post. Like, he goes for a turnbuckle head smash, but he hits the post and he's bleeding like all over the place. He's wearing the crimson mask, as Gordon Sully would say, and things are just out of control. There's very few power moves, but once they start getting introduced, you're getting your suplexes, you're getting your backdrops, and Nick Bockwinkel hits him with a pile driver. And then Curt Hennig hits him with a pile driver. It's going back and forth. Guys are hitting each other with their finishing moves. Like Curt Hennig hits him with the axe forearm, and Nick Bockwinkel's down and out. And he grabs for the friggin' ropes just before the three count. Like, it is suspenseful, suspense at its finest. Just when you think Curt Hennig's going to get the championship, actually, before I even get to how it goes, there was just some like random things that I was noticing in this Broadway that guys just don't do, like the closed fists. Like, there weren't really any closed fists, and when there were, they were like shots to the bread basket. Or there was like one point in particular where I think it was Hennig punches Bockwinkel, and Bockwinkel falls down to the floor. Like, he doesn't, try to, stand up or try to no-sell it or anything like that. The dude just falls flat on his back. That's what if I were to punch you or you were to punch me in the face, one of us is going to drop.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. You know, it's real. Like, they played it as real as possible. And to add to the suspense, you know, it's a 60-minute time limit. Like, they're going over what the time is. 45 minutes done, 15 minutes remain, 5 minutes remain. And, you know, it comes down to the figure four leg lock slapped onto Nick Bockwinkel from Curt Hennig. And they're counting down the seconds. 15 seconds remain. 10, 9, 8. The crowd is counting. And I think just before the countdown is on, the bell rings prematurely. The referee, Curt Hennig releases the figure four leg lock, goes over to a corner. The referee raises his hand. The crowd goes ape shit because they thought that he won the championship. And then the referee goes over to Nick Bockwinkel's hand and then raises his hand, and the crowd boos. They fucking got every single person in that crowd, everybody watching television, thinking that Curt Hennig won that belt. And that was not the case at all. And that was just another setup for yet another rematch for the championship.
So again, I know I sound like a broken record, but another classic case of storytelling. In 1987, to get your attention, to have a time limit draw, you have to tell a story. You have to.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to sit there and watch a 30 or 45 minute match and it's not going to tell a story.
It's hard. It's hard for a lot of people now. It's hard to watch these kind of matches. And, you know, I understand, like, half-hour headlocks, they're boring. Leg locks, they're boring. But, you know, these guys, you know, mastered this kind of stuff. You know, something like, you know, simple, like, leg lock. You don't even know what the fuck they're doing. But, you know, a guy like Nick Bockwinkel would grind on the ankle. Just to make it more convincing, you know, they knew that the fans would get bored with that shit. Like, there was boring chants back then. Like, it was no surprise to these guys.
Right, because a lot of wrestling fans, even back then, have that ADHD mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, boring. But in hindsight, they're telling a story, and no one told a story at that point better than Bockwinkel.
There was a couple this was... Sorry to cut you off, but this was 87, you know.
And Bockwinkel wasn't a young guy.
No, he was not. He was in his 40s.
He's pushing 80 at this point.
Yeah, and he's going through a bad case of Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So the guy's not in good shape at all. But, you know, at this point, 87, what the hell's going on in 87? WrestleMania 3, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. Steamboat, Savage.
Ric Flair, Ronnie Garvin, the Road Warriors, the Horsemen. A lot of good
all
stuff.
All the greats that left the AWA.
Yeah, all the guys that were in AWA. Andre was in AWA too.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was an attraction that was brought into AWA through Vince Sr. But but still, like, he would spend a good chunk of time in AWA. But the world is going against the AWA at this time. This is what they have to offer, you know. Nick Bockwinkel, aging champion, he still had it, you know. This match is that the Broadway is proof of it. There's a whole science to all this. There's a reason they know shit like that is boring. They're doing it on purpose so they can fucking, you know, play with their emotions later on in the match, so that when things get cooking, it's like, all right, things are starting to move. And every little thing that they did in that match made sense, you know, from building it up with the rest holds to the suplexes, to the backdrops, then to the pile drivers, then to punching each other in the face, then to juicing, then to the submission hold, and then to the, false finish. You know, this is classic storytelling, you know, it's you know, I wish stuff like this was still relevant, but it's very hard, you know. Even for the most hardcore wrestling fans that attend PWG, Chikara, Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, all this kind of stuff, you know, it's very hard to play with wrestling fans' emotions like that. Like, just a random story. I was at the supposedly last ECW arena show when they closed it down. Like, they had CZW, and then they had Evolve as the last event. And the main event for that was Ricochet versus Johnny Gargano. And
ironically, the finals of Bola this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was like a year ago or two. I forgot when. But everybody shat on that match because it's two, you know, flippy, you know, spot monkey guys who decided to have a wrestling match. And it was so bad. The match wasn't that bad, but just the reaction by the fans was so bad that, you know, Gabe Sapolsky, who runs Evolve, and Lenny Leonard, the guy who does all the commentary, they were defending that match like to the death, like for the next like couple weeks, because people were like, how can you have that shitty ass match at the last ECW show and ruin you know, ECW's like legacy or whatever. Well, I think they ruined it even more by having that really awful Sabu versus Just Incredible match. But this is before, you know, Just Incredible, you know, cleaned up and all that. But these guys, they decided to have a wrestling match. They weren't going to do any flippy shit. And the fans, like, just were not having it. But that's, you know, bad timing on their part because it's last night at the ECW arena. They wanted to see some crazy shit. But you know, it just goes to show, you know, having a classic wrestling match, telling a story, it's very hard these days.
No, it definitely is. So Bockwinkle and Henning have this epic draw, which now leads up to the title match at Superclash. Again, this is their WrestleMania. So, you know, they're pulling out all the stops. You think that the match went like almost the same way as the draw did.
Yeah.
I mean,
their matches were very similar. They would start slow and then build up.
Right, very similar. Same move sets. And again, Bockwinkle's my age now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's 40-something years old.
Yeah.
And he's running with Henning, who's the young lion. I'm going to take you to Superclash 2, if I may. I'm going to play a couple of minutes of this. This is just, you have to listen to this. It's like towards the end of the match. The match was almost 40 minutes long.
Yes.
This is the 23rd minute in. So I'm going to play this for a couple of minutes. And just to give you an idea of how hot the crowd was for 2,800 people and the magnitude of this match. So let's do that real quick.
Both of these men showing tremendous amount of endurance and resiliency.
Larry Zbysko ringside with a tux. Dave mentions a closed fist in the corner.
Second wind here.
Wow. Indeed. champion's hand and is able to pick his way out one more time. Hennig drills it with a right hand.
Ron Tregard calling the action.
Two simultaneously making their way to their feet. And the war goes on. Buckwick will now bring up Kurt Hennig, dropping him flat on his back.
Both guys are completely exhausted at this point.
Larry Zbyszko slipping the roll of dimes over to Kurt Hennig, smacking Nick Bockwinkel and getting 3 points.
So, you know, it's funny because you didn't even need that. But the magnitude of it all is again, classic storytelling. Mr. X is right. That old school crowd is nice. Even for 2,800 people, you know. You now know that this was like real. Not, I don't mean like, I mean real as in a real good story. Like this.
Yeah.
This was the, again, classic setup. You know, here's the scrappy ring veteran, the general, the tactician, the guy's been holding the boat for years. Here comes the young lion, 240 pounds. Guy's got everything in his arsenal, second generation, a good look to him, and they made him work for it. So this was, honestly, Hogan did this guy a service.
Yeah.
Hogan did Kurt Hennig a service. I think Hogan was, you know, my opinion, and I mentioned this already, Hogan prematurely left. You know, I think they were going to give him the title. I don't think Bockwinkel could have held on to it as long as he could have.
Yeah, I think with the kind of crowds that Hogan was bringing in and the reaction that he was getting, the dude was in Rocky III for crying out loud. You know, that was a time when, you know, being in a movie actually meant something. You know, I could be in a movie and it'd be like, oh, cool, you're in a movie, you know. Some people may make it, like, a huge deal, but it's not like how it was back then. Like, people didn't, like, know how to get into movies. They didn't know how to meet people like that. Like, there was no autograph sessions with these guys. Like, when the show was over with, you were lucky if you got to run into them, like, after the show, like, if you waited long enough, like, all that other kind of stuff. Like, these guys were, like, gods.
Yeah, and you know, to take nothing away from Kurt Hennig, he went on to do big things. We all know what his track record was after that. At that point,
yeah,
about a year or two later.
But you know, it was a big change for the AWA.
Yeah, and so, I just want to say Bockwinkel sold everything.
Yeah,
like he sold everything. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave. Finish your point.
But yeah, it was the passing of the torch. You know, this was a pivotal moment for Kurt Hennig to discover who he is, because, you know, he went on to become a great heel champion in the AWA. He had matches with what's his face? Is it Wahoo McDaniel? I believe it was Wahoo McDaniel. In strap matches, had some matches with Larry Zbyszko, which was kind of strange because it was just kind of like during this time, Bockwinkel was a heel. Yeah. Zbyszko was a heel, going after a heel, and Kurt Hennig became a heel. So it was kind of a bit confusing, but Plus, like, you got to take into consideration WWF was the only promotion that had a face champion. Everybody else was going for the heel champion. But
Henning wasn't
Mr. X in the chat room is saying that Kurt had horrible promo skills in the AWA. That's true because the guy was still, you know, figuring out who he was. And he was also ripping off Ric Flair, doing his gimmick in AWA as the champion was Cool Kurt Henning. And yes, Cool was his nickname.
Yeah, and Kurt Henning wasn't champion for that long. He wasn't.
No, he ended up dropping the belt to Jerry Lawler, who this ended Lawler's quest for the gold, because Lawler had this big storyline that he was going for a world championship. He couldn't win the NWA. You know, it wasn't going anywhere near the WWF championship, but finally won the championship of the AWA by defeating Kurt Henning.
Yeah.
But then Kurt Henning was going to the WWF, so it didn't even matter.
Yep. So, I mean, there it is. I mean, it wasn't a thing where I wasn't, Dave and I weren't going to break down move for move because it was the same move set in both matches. I think explaining the time limit draw prior to this match at Superclash was appropriate. You know, I think it just, again, tells a great story, and these both guys were good. And for the time, like Dave mentioned, for the time, transitionally, the Federation's going into a huge transition now with the merge with, WCWA? And
WCWA, and USWA.
They merged. Not they merged, but they had a nice little working agreement because they brought, like, the next Superclash, they brought in a whole bunch of their guys from Texas. They brought in the Iceman King Parsons and Eric Embry and all those other guys.
Yeah, so, and in general, it was a very strange time because a lot of the, you know, not just old wrestlers were kind of getting phased out, but just the old way of doing things, like Broadways were becoming a thing of the past. Granted, it was like a year later, you had Sting and Ric Flair for a 45-minute time limit draw.
Clash of the Champions.
Clash of the Champions. Steamboat Flair.
Wrestle War 90.
They had a few like 45-minute plus matches. But still, like, those matches were becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah.
WWF wasn't even touching hour-long time limits. But still, they would say, you know, how long the match was going to go for, you know, whether it was 30 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. They would announce the time limits because, you know, if a match were to go to a draw, the fans would understand, you know, like, oh, there was a time limit, you know.
Bockwinkel did go to the WWF after that. Became
as a commentator, yeah.
So did Ron Tregod, who called this match.
Yeah.
Ron did a lot of the house shows that I went to at that time. Monsoon's fill-in. Like when Monsoon would do the Boston Gardens,
yeah,
Ron Tregod would do Maple Leaf Gardens or Madison Square Garden. They would swap spots. Ron Tregod did a lot of stuff at the Spectrum. So
yeah.
If you watch a lot of back in the day, you watch WWE On Demand, Ron Tregod was on a lot of those.
Yeah, so, WWF literally took almost everybody in the AWA.
Yeah, listen, Vince cherry picked a lot of AWA guys, more in particular Greg Valentine at the time, Adrian Adonis, Jesse Ventura, Ivan Putski. A lot of guys came through there. I mean, it is what it was, you know.
Too bad he didn't bring in Colonel DeBeers.
Oh, thank God, no. All right, so Dave, you want to take some calls or what?
Yeah, we got time. Let's, if people want to call in, let's take some calls.
All right, just put it in the chat room. 718-878-6304. 718-878-6304 is the number to call in. Talk to the Mega Powers and myself about, talk some old school, man, some AWA, whatever else is on your mind. Keep the phone lines open for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then we'll, wrap it up. But that was, I enjoyed that, man. Just
people that are afraid to call in anyway. Stop being a bitch.
Yeah, stop being a bitch.
There's worse things to be afraid of.
You know what? And I got to be honest. That particular match, the last the Superclash match, was actually on the, I believe it was on the AWA DVD. that WWF put out?
I gotta look because I have the AWA DVD. I thought it was strange the AWA DVD had a lot of matches that were clipped. They were edited.
I don't
understand why they did that, but
they gotta start putting this stuff on the network, man. And once they and they have the Mid-South Library, they have AWA. They have
everything.
They put World Class on there, and why can't they put you know the other shits on there, man?
I think in time they'll do it because it seems like the network is I don't want to say they're totally shooting their load, but they are shooting their load.
Yeah,
because. There's so much stuff on there to watch. Like you can't possibly like get through all this stuff in a week. Like there's so much, but for a lot of fans, like they're going through it like it's nothing. Like I already watched most of the Saturday night's main events.
Yeah, I watched almost all those too. I'm up to the fourth episode of Nitro. With the debut of Disco Inferno.
Oh my god! and what else? Like a lot of people have already watched all the Clash of the Champions, or they watched all the Legends of Wrestling. Like,
yeah, I don't care. I mean, I love that stuff. I can watch that. I can watch a lot of that over and over again. That's old hat to me. I just think with the library he's got. Utilize it, man. I mean, how awesome would it be to watch the Mid-South stuff in, like, chronological order? Jesus Christ. I don't know. Guys, if you want to...
Taking Skype calls, too.
Yeah, Throwbacks and Awfulness is the handle. It's up on the chat. AA put it up there for us. Yeah, man. Throwbacks and Awfulness is the Skype handle. Call it in. Either way, it doesn't matter. We don't have to take calls if you don't want to.
Yeah.
I know it's warm out. Everybody's out doing their thing. We're not getting a lot of chatters lately, but that's all right. You know, it's all good.
Chatters are a bit scared too.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
I know we are so great. We are the number one show on the Shining Wizards Network, after all.
Oh, geez.
So we are a bit intimidating to talk with.
Yeah. Listen.
But it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Dave's very full of himself, and rightfully so. He's a good co-host. But
if you got it, flaunt it.
Yeah, true that.
That's what I always say.
True that. Real quick, I just want to thank everybody who bought T-shirts lately. That was cool. My cousin, Florida Richie, Daddy Rich bought a couple guys bought some. I just picked up the NES cartridge shirt, so I'll be ready for. September 20th, Legends of the Ring.
I have that one. I recently picked it up. I put the photo up recently. Yep. That one's my favorite so far. That's like a classic image. You can't go wrong with that.
Matt, you don't have to pay for the Skype call, man. You just if you have a handle, you can just chime in.
Yeah, if you have Skype and you Skype our Skype name with your Skype name, it's all good.
Yeah, Throwbacks and Awfulness is the Skype name. So either way, I did not hear the Steamboat interview. Mr. X is asking. I was going to save that for my shitty commute to work tomorrow. Eddie messaged me yesterday on Facebook and said that they asked Ricky Steamboat my question, which was what was his favorite match for Flair. So I guess I'll hear that tomorrow. And we'll see Ricky Steamboat September 20th. So that's going to be very cool for us.
I'm going to bring a ring bell.
And we'll be at dude, are you serious? I mean, I'm going to bring I'm going to bring the encyclopedia. See, I'll pay the $20 for him to sign it for Mikey, you know? And that's pretty much it, man. I mean, it's going to be a great time, September 20th. And then that night we'll be at Legends of the Ring. Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rawway at the Rec Center. Brodus Clay is fighting Homicide. I think Brian Myers is fighting Kevin Matthews, I think, if I read that right. That should be a cool card. I mean, again, they always come correct, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they've come a long way. Like the the first PWS show I went to was god awful, but the last several ones that I went to have been like extremely good.
Yeah, I'm happy. I can't wait. Mikey's excited too. It's gonna be a great time. He's all excited. So we have to get him. We have to get him a turnbuckle throwback shirt. They don't have it on Pro Wrestling Tees. They don't have his size.
Oh, that reminds me. For all the New Japan fans out there, I've come into some good fortune. If you want legit New Japan merchandise, there's a dude in Japan who's actually created a website in English for people to order all legitimate New Japan merchandise.
But there are no fat people in Japan.
There's no fat people in Japan, so there's no 3X shirts or anything like that. But for people that are under 3X, it's purewrestleshop.com. PUROESUshop.com. Just throwing it out there, because I know like people like me, I'm not a big fan of the New Japan shirts that I got from Pro Wrestling Tees, because they looked a bit faded, and I bought the baseball shirt, the classic New Japan baseball shirt. The logo looked like a kind of like a Cafe Press faded deal, and the sleeves were too long. Our shirts come out perfect, but I was a little disappointed that, you know, the New Japan stuff didn't come out perfect. But for the same price, shipping is probably going to be through the ass, but you can, you know, go to this dude's website and pick some of that stuff up. Get some of those bath towels or the soccer towels and stuff like that. They have DVDs. They got everything.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Dave will put the site up on the Facebook page. And I definitely want a Bullet Club shirt. I'll probably have that before the holidays. I definitely like the way it looks. So I'll get one of those.
I saw people with those at a bunch of shows. Those came out great, but I was just disappointed that the classic New Japan baseball shirt was not coming proper.
Mr. X wants a classic Topps baseball shirt. Me too. I might. Those are awesome. I just saw those on the site recently.
That's not on Pro Wrestling Tees.
No, that's on Topps Baseball. But anyway, all right. You know what? I don't think anybody's calling in. So you want to start wrapping this puppy up? And
let's wrap it up because I got work in the morning and I got to wake up at the butt crack of dawn.
Man,
so
welcome to my world. All right, let me get some. Let's get some music up here. I got some a nice little selection tonight. What the hell am I? There we go. Did I just do? Where is it? I hate when I have all these fucking, when I have all these folders open and I can't find, where is it? Just give me 1 second. I just lost the folder. I don't know. How did I lose a fucking folder?
I don't know how you lost the folder.
I wasn't. Now my computer's not. Now my computer's
getting a request for a Commando Bennett chainmail T-shirt with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks logo on it.
All right,
we'll work on that.
Yeah, we'll definitely work on that. We'll definitely work on that. I'm just gonna
a chainmail shirt, man.
Oh man, give me 1 second. So anyway, no dead air. Keep talking for a second.
I'm going to keep talking about pro wrestling. Oh, there was apparently some butt crack, diva butt crack on Main Event last night.
I heard about that.
I saw the photos, but I don't know which girl it was, whose tanned ass was on.
I think it was Rosa Mendez.
Really?
I think.
She had a fine ass.
I think Rage put it up.
Yeah, I believe it was Rage.
So... All right, I found my music. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. This has been episode 84. Going to be shooting for 100 by the end of the year. Can't wait for that.
We can do it.
We are part of the Shining Wizards Network. The Shining Wizards are brothers. The Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker Podcast, 2.5 Wrestlers, Apex Wrestling Entertainment with the Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101, Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, Thursday Night Destruction, that's tomorrow night with our boy Big Dave, The Rant every Tuesday, The Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday, What Are You Reading every Sunday, and The Lex Experience on Fridays with the podcast. That's The Rant, rantemradio.com, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, Don Tony and Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio, GeekCityIndustry.com. Check out the new show from me, that's back in time. It's called Back in Time, and totally awesome tribute to the 1980s. Episode 1 should be up soon. It just got posted to their site. Oh, not to their site, to their network. NXT Cast, of course. Metal Thunder Radio. Tattoos and Touchdowns every Sunday, 10 to noon on MolekRadio.com. Chris Espo, Will Sweeney, and Uncle Eddie's Ham Radio. So, with that being said, on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am, of course, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you adieu. Don't get arrested. Avoid the clap. And be kind to animals. Dave, any closing words?
I gotta get back onto the main event and check out that match.
All right, Dave's going.
Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah, Dave's going booty hunting. Guys, thanks everybody in the chat room tonight. All the love on Facebook, Twitter. You guys know how to handle us and how to reach us. We love you all. God bless.